exactly sure why the liturgy has timed that we would celebrate the martyrs for teachers, but we do pray for your martyrdom and whatever may be coming ahead with the kids when they arrive. Just real quick, a couple of details about the first reading from the book of Numbers, and then we'll probably get into some ideas for you all if they're helpful. It is interesting just to walk through this and the idea of the Israelites in the desert, you know, and there they are, and they have this manna stuff that fell from heaven. If you don't know the word manna, the reason they named it manna was because they said, "What is this stuff?" And that's what the word means, manna. And so that's how they just kind of named it by that. It's kind of a foretaste, a little bit of the Eucharist. But I kind of compare it in my head to elven bread in The Lord of the Rings, that little elven bread. Sorry, I've got nothing to do with my time. I just watch movies. But that it was just little cakes that just kind of really nourished you and strengthened you. And the more pure with which you ate those cakes and not other things, the stronger it made you. And you could persevere in your journey, in your mission to the very end. I just appreciate the Israelites as they're sitting there so fickle. There they are, freed from slavery in Egypt, no longer subservient to the wretched Pharaoh and having to do all the construction for the pyramids and all these things that they were doing. They're free. And it describes the manna. And they said they would cook it with oil, and it was tasted like cakes made with oil. It didn't taste like dirt. I mean, you got cake every day for lunch. And here are the fickle teenagers complaining about the lunch menu in the desert. We liked it better in Egypt. We had cucumbers and steak, and well, not steak, but some sort of meat, and garlic, and why can't we just go back? Like, they're so, like, short-sighted and short-term memoried. It's kind of like, yeah, it is like teenagers. So, they're always complaining. They're oblivious to so many incredible gifts that they had already received. They were oblivious to the lengths to which Moses had gone on their behalf. Teens can be so short-sighted, so oblivious to so much that's being done for them sometimes. I'm stereotyping, but maybe I'm wrong. Your teens not like that? Maybe your teens are like that. A little bit, just a little bit, on their bad days. And I love Moses, like God bless Moses, like I think any teacher could relate. Why are you so displeased with me, Lord, that you burden me with all these people? Was it I who conceived them? They're not my kids. I'm not their parent. What did I do wrong that I have this kid in my class? Why do you tell me to carry them and their burdens in my heart? Like a foster father, foster mother, carrying a toddler to something you promised them. Where can I get meat to give all these people? I have nothing more to give these students. I've given this kid everything. For what it's worth, just a little footnote, I just appreciate those who know the vocation of the teacher. You might want to push that aggravating, burdensome kid away, but your heart won't let you sometimes. It's kind of beautiful. The way you know that teaching can be a vocation. Like an adopted mother, I can't let him go, but I also can't seem to take care of him. I can't satisfy all his needs. I can't do this on my own, Moses said. Even Jesus Christ, in the moment of the gospel, like, it was a rough day, a little stressful, and then he gets this terrible news, like, he comes to school with a lot of burden on his heart, and even Jesus wants time alone. You ever have that experience after teaching six periods in a row, and you're like, I just want to be alone, just leave me alone, kids. Go to lunch or something. Or you just got back from lunch. Well, go back to lunch. I can't do this on my own, it's too much. The apostles come to Jesus with the needs of the crowds. Look, they're hungry. And what do we got to give them? Send them somewhere else. I wonder if some teachers feel like Moses. Lord, just kill me now. Just get this over with. Just get this over with. I can't do this. It's not getting better. I quit. Send them to somebody else. So I love how when the apostles bring the needs of the people, the hunger of the people to Jesus, they say, we have, like, here you go, Lord, like, I don't know, you got 5,000 people there, I caught five fish, or this little kid actually caught five fish, I didn't catch them, the kid caught them, and five barley loaves. So send them to the villages. Send them somewhere else. And Jesus says, you give them to eat. Lord, are you deaf? Lord, are you not listening to my prayers every day? Lord, are you not seeing the frustration with the student? I can't reach him. I can't overcome the obstacles. You give him something to eat. You reach her heart. You reach her mind. Lord, my resources, I don't have what it takes. My personality, their personality, we're not matching. It's not. I can't use the images. I can't. You give them something to eat. Bring what little you have or what you think you have to me. Start there. I came here with my degree in teaching. I came here with all my expertise, my experience at 5 years of teaching, whatever. And I've tried so hard. Our Lord says, well, bring what you have to me first. Bring that talent, bring your time, and come rely on me. Don't overanalyze, don't overcalculate, don't overthink yourself, your limitations, your what you can or can't do. Just stop thinking, and bring it to me. And then go do what I tell you to do. Go distribute it from what you have. If you haven't seen The Chosen, Season 3, Episode 8, it's a fantastic rendition of this miracle. And the apostles bring him some empty baskets, and they start breaking little 5 loaves into, you know, pieces, and they put in the baskets. And Jesus says a little prayer, and they're going to take these half-empty, 9/10 empty baskets, and they can't lift them because, they're suddenly full. I don't know how they got full. I just know that now I have to give that I didn't think I had before. Just food for thought. I want to encourage when you are, especially you all, you're very blessed. I'm actually going hopefully today to bless the 2 public schools next door to our church. But you're blessed to live in a Catholic school, to work in a Catholic school. The fact that you can start each class with what? Yes, not complaining and penance, giving out your detentions, but prayer. And I want to encourage, I know growing up when we would do that, you're like, oh my gosh, prayer. Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, amen. But I want to encourage, like, if you would learn, and each of us could do this better, to start every hour going back to Jesus with what you have. Begin the class with your strengths, your weaknesses, your limitations, your frustrations. The kids might be distracted, but you need to pray first before every class, before the practice starts after school, before anything else. Don't just pray because, oh, we're supposed to pray as a Catholic school. Doggone it, I hate that waste of time. No, I need to pray. I need to take my stuff before him first, before I dare to give it to the students on my own. Lord, here's what I have, my 5 loaves and 2 fish, my lesson plan. I kind of prepared it, or I didn't prepare it today. Here it is. Lord, I want to pray with you for a moment before we start. You're also blessed in a Catholic school that you have a beautiful chapel with our Lord in your midst. Well, he's not there now. Did you notice he's not there? He's abandoned you. What did you? No, I'm just kidding. We'll put him there after Mass. But it's empty right now, but it's full throughout the year. That light, that sanctuary candle, is always burning. I don't know if you have more than just like 5 seconds for a bathroom break every now and then, but if you get 6 seconds every now and then, hopefully you get more than that. But come visit him. Come spend time with him. I laugh because every now and then I come from Mass, and I leave some vestments here. I borrow the vestments here. They're not mine. I borrow them. They're nice, though. But I come in, and the door's locked. Can we unlock the door? Just food for thought. I don't know. Maybe we can't. But if we could, I would encourage teachers, when you get a chance during your break, come spend some time with the Lord. Again, bring what you have to him throughout the day. And we can. I don't know what I'm saying. But think about it if we can manage that. And I want to leave off with a simple prayer for teachers, if you bear with me. Just open our hearts to ask the Lord to help us. Father, each of you can think of these thoughts. Father, please fill me with your understanding as I instruct others. Help me to see the individual potential of each student I teach. Father, please fill me with your patience as I teach others. Help me to keep giving of my time and energy, especially to those who struggle the most. Father, please give me your divine wisdom as I am with my class. Show me when I must discipline and when I can show mercy. Father, help me to depend totally on you, for you are the source of my strength, my courage, and my peace. Father, above all, may I love and care for each student I teach. Show me, Father, how to serve as Christ serves, how to give as Christ gives, how to love as Christ loves. I ask all this in the precious name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us.